course, plugged that the guitar too, and then, you know, he's got a, his.
Jeff's gonna MC the show, and I have a present for you too. I will forget.
Okay, Jeff, go ahead.
Okay, Jeff's here gonna we
MC
go.
The show.
Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Willow, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We are here, and I think we're the only guys in studio here for tonight. Everybody took off for the vacation, so we boys can get down and do some really cranking up the amp, so it's nice in here. I have two of my very good friends here tonight with me. First, he was on originally on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, and I have him back, and he's done some amazing things. He's got some new products out, but he's known for, he made this Schaefer replica, which was basically originally a wireless system that they used for guitar. It was one of the first wireless systems, but people liked overdriving it and using it as an overdrive unit. So he made a replica of it with basically without the FM stage, but it's like a double gate, it's a double stage gain booster, and it sounds incredible. I want to welcome Filippo Olivieri.
Hey.
Great to have you back, man.
Jeff, it's so beautiful to be back here with you guys. Thank you.
But he's done more than that. So he had shown, when we had seen him last time, he had developed a stomp pedal version of the replica, but now he has a newer version of that. We're going to talk about that. And the thing I've been dying, he's told me about this months and months ago, and I wanted to get this on the show, is his new Solo Dallas amp. And I don't know if you have one here too. He also just came out with a Solo Dallas pickup.
Yes, sir.
So this is very cool. My other guest here, I had to have him come down because this guy knows tone and he knows Marshalls really well. And I love his live album, Live Bullets. It's one of the best classic sounds I love. And I thought, well, if I'm going to have somebody demo, we're going to all play this amp, but I think this guy will really put it through its paces. Steve Pfister, it's always an honor to have you here.
Hey now.
And he
Thanks,
even brought
Jeff. I appreciate it.
He brought another guitar that he got from Godin that's real. He's going to talk about that. It's got some special pickups on it, so we're going to test that out.
Oh, we have lots of fun just
it's,
geeking.
This is, yeah, this is going to be an incredible thing. But anyway, let's just go real briefly through the history of the Schaefer replica right now and then go into what you've developed now. And we'll cover that first before we start on the amp because I'm dying to try this amp. We just tested it and it just sounds killer. So anyway, go ahead.
But of course, thanks very much. So yes, some of you may know me, some others not for my previous, but also still current projects with a Schaefer replica. What it is, as Jeff very well put it in the opening, it is a, today it's a guitar effect. Actually, I'm limiting it actually by just saying that it's a guitar effect. It's a, I would call it as an instrument effect. Because it's been used, it has been used previously in its previous format as a wireless system during the 70s with the name of the Schaefer Vega Diversity System, one of the first, very first reliable and great sounding wireless systems, and made in the USA by Ken Schaefer starting in 1976. So being used on bass, on guitar, on even acoustic instruments, thanks to a lavalier microphone in use at the time. So when I found out that my favorite band, AC/DC, had used such system in the 70s and into the 80s in the studio, not only live, but actually in the studio, making the sound of Angus Young's guitar, who's my guitar hero. He's always been that. So when I found that out around 5 years ago, I went nuts about this device. Because to me, it was the missing link to the type of tone that I had always loved, which is the back in black, AC/DC back in black kind of sound. Mm-hmm. So we reverse engineered it and the wireless system, and we made a an effect out of that. So that's been on the market for roughly 2 years. The good thing about this, if I may say good thing, it's been a good thing for me, a huge thing for me actually, that Angus Young in AC/DC heard of the fact that I had developed such a geeky effect, and he called me to the studio while recording Rock Robust, AC/DC's last and latest album, and he used it again on the entire album, and he's been using it for 2 years live on the road touring with AC/DC. So that for me,
that is cool.
Well, the other thing too is, wow, it's not just, I mean, he, if I'm, yeah, correct, you were trying to get that AC/DC sound, so you were focusing on that. But I'm looking at his list of people that are using this. It's amazing. Brad Whitford from Aerosmith, Coco Montoya, Elliot Randall, Foo Fighters. I mean, you've got the list of people, Neil Sean, Joe Bonamassa, Keith Urban, Lenny Kravitz. I mean, there's some amazing people that are using this unit, and it is... I got to try it at the Amp Show, and he had like a full 4x12 setup, and it just, and I'm a big fan of Humble Pie, and I love when they had Frampton with the old Plexi, and so I'm in there in the room when they're over there, and I'm playing Stone Cold Fever, and it sounded exactly like, you know, so it's just, it's a great overdrive unit, and it worked, and this was before the amp, this was with the regular Marshall. Now you have both, you have the You have the Schaefer replica, and now you have the amp to get the cool sound. So anyway.
I really wanted to, yes. That's everything's correct, as you put it. And I really wanted to, by the way, Peter Frampton that you mentioned, he was also a former user of the Schaefer Vega Diversity System. So it's for me, it's full circle a number of times with these huge names. We've been extremely lucky to have them. I still pinch myself daily on a daily basis about this, but I really wanted to provide the full line of gear that a gearhead like me knew that was needed to get that amazing for me sound of AC/DC back in those days. So what we've done, basically, we started researching, because I knew that it couldn't be only about the Schaefer Vega and now about the Schaefer replica. I knew that several amplifiers had been used back then by Angus Young and the rest of the gang, AC/DC, and I always go back to that because it's a thing that I know best, and actually it's a thing that actually started my passion, so I still live off of that, still chasing after that sound. So if you or lots of friends and that I made over the years, if we just Google around and try and see what people think Angus Young's amp has been over the years, it's fascinating to see that there's a variety of opinions, and no one is correct about it.
Okay.
So it's been said that he used to use, and its favorite amp was a JTM 45, and that's completely not accurate. or it's 59 Super Leads, 1959 Super Leads. It's fairly correct. But in the studio, actually, the amplifier, and I was really driven to understand, to know, to learn what was the amp that had been used in the studio for Highway to Hell, Back in Black, for those about to rock and flick the switch. For me, that's a seminal golden era of AC/DC. I still go back to that. So we researched a number of sources. And to make it brief for you, just like I researched back in the day that for the Schaefer Vega, we came to find out that the amp was a JTM-50 Black Flag from around 1967. So once I found out that, and I was rather surprised that it wasn't any other model but that one, because it has a fairly rare amplifier, especially in the configuration that we found had been used by Angus Young. And actually, that amplifier, it came out that it had been chosen by brother Malcolm Young, because it was one of his favorite sounds. And he was actually the guy that in the studio, and even out of the studio on the road, would set up and manage all the sound settings and the production for AC/DC back in the day. So that's a fairly rare amplifier.
Yeah, now, and also, too, well, for the studio, it's interesting because a lot of guys use different amps. For example, Deep Purple, which we always saw use the big 150-watt Marshalls when they played live, but in the studio used the AC30. So it was interesting. A lot of times in the studio, they didn't use exactly the same, you know, the same thing that they were. But that JTM-50, what was different from it besides the power from the JTM-45? Because I know the JTM-45 is pretty mainstream.
That's correct. So according to the history of these amplifiers, and I don't think I can be slapped for saying it so simply and briefly as I'm about to, the JTM-45 was the first one that came to be developed by Marshall around 1962. And it was fairly inspired by the 59 Bassman Fender. We will say that it was inspired by. We'll just say that. So, but over time, in a few years from 62, around, I think, 65, 66, they started installing, instead of the tubes that were typically shipped out with a JTM-45 at the time, so KT-66, and later on 6L6s, they started installing EL-34s because they were cheaper and more widely available. And so that was one of the first things that was introduced that really started changing the sound of that particular amplifier, delivering thusly from 30 watts roughly in its JTM-45 format, which wasn't even driving very much, not as much as later on the JTM-50 drove. But it fairly changed the sound, of course, with the L34s. So because they introduced the L34s, they had to change the power transformers. And, of course, they were bigger ones, and so that changed. Most of those amps, up until 1967, still according to our research, were sporting a tube rectifier. So that would actually be a fairly still soft kind of sound. But if you listen to AC/DC and specifically to a bunch of songs on Back in Black, for example, Shoot to Thrill, you'll hear that it starts, it's pretty actually a tough, solid, hard sound. Down, 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 down. It will go out like that. And it's definitely, it drives more and it's not as soft as it would be with a tube rectifier, GZ-34. So, in fact, we found out that they, that Angus and Malcolm were actually using a solid-state rectifier, JTM-50, which is probably even more rare than the versions with the tube rectifier.
Wow.
It is unknown to us whether they modified that because they wanted to have a harder sound and a quicker response, or they just found it in that condition.
Well, let's take a listen and explain a little bit on what you did, how you got to make the Solo Dallas SD50.
Right.
And let's hear it. I'm dying to hear this amp.
So let's hear it first. And I think we're not using very high settings right now because we are in the studio.
Well, I had you set it up so that we're pushing the power tubes. I have a power soak, a Schultz power soak, because I'm going through a Blueback Celestion to get that vintage sound. And so we're cranking the amp. So you're going to hear a browner sound from it. And then tell us when you're kicking in the Schaefer too, so they can hear the gain.
Right away. So let's hear it first without the Schaefer. And I think the volume right now, the loudness, our friends need to remember this is a fairly classic amplifier that has no gain control, anything like that. So the only way with these amplifiers that we have to make them drive is by raising the volume.
Right, that, there's no master volume, there's right. No preamp thing.
So let's try it. It could be one song that you remember or you don't. And there's another one which goes just like this. This was really the missing link, as well as the Schaefer that still we haven't kicked in to that elusive sound that just I fantasized about this sound since I was a child. I think I was 10 years old, now kicking 48. And so let's kick in the Schaefer and hear what it actually does to the sound. So typically we use the Schaefer replica and before it the Schaefer Vega. In its wireless format, we can use it for rhythm or solos, but it really shines on the lead parts. So let's hear the amplifier without the Schaefer replica first and hear what it sounds like, and then we'll kick in the Schaefer. We're going to kick in the Schaefer now. So if you remember I don't know how to call them, those huge clean, dirty solos from Back in Black. If you try with a Marshall amplifier of this era, but even later era, I mean, you will get a thinner sound, probably more harsh sounding, and the Schaefer is actually going to supplement that with a lot of more harmonics, more drive, and just simply making the sound a lot fatter. And I hope it comes through from our setup today.
It's amazing, the gain. But the other thing that's really cool is the Schaefer is basically two gain stages because you're duplicating the transmitter and the receiver, and each one can be overdrives independently. So it gives you a little more diversity in terms of, you know, it's interesting because you can just have one really overdrive it, or you can do both, and it's the distortion is the harmonic content is just amazing.
That's correct once again, sir. That's absolutely how it is.
Also, too, I want to interject real quick because while you're playing, you're using your SG, the Solo Dallas Angus SG model, and this one has that pickup, right?
Yes.
So real quick,
yes.
Show us that pickup.
Yes. Of course, we can't show it by letting people hear it. That's better. But first, a couple words about it because we heard it so far. It is well known, of course, by most people that are into these kind of things like SGs and ACDC and stuff and vintage instruments as well, that on older type SGs, especially starting around 64, 65, a certain type of pickup was introduced by Gibson. Its name was T-Top. So what I really wanted to get and I couldn't find on the market, and I have quite a few vintage Gibson SGs, as well as, of course, the vintage T-tops that come with it. But I also have another number of SGs or even other guitars that I really wanted to get the same vibe that I get from my older T-tops, and I could never find on the market something that really gave me that kind of thing. So again, we researched, and we found the right pickup with a...
But what made it different than a standard humbucker?
Well, you know, according to Gibson, nothing. So according to Gibson, it was just a perfect evolution of a PAF pickup that was being made in the late 50s, from 57 onward, actually. So Gibson just transitioned from those PAFs and replaced those PAFs with a T-tops. We called them T-tops because they have a shape of a T on the actual plastic of the bobbins, not the bobbins, sorry, of the plastic part. So that's why they were known as T-tops from there on. So theoretically, there's not much difference. They used Alnico 2 and Alnico 5. Both can be found looking in those years, particularly once again from 65 up to, which it's the time that we ended our search for one particular reason, 71. So we basically sampled T-tops spanning from 65 up to 71. The reason is that my hero, once again, Angus Young, used to use a 1971 Gibson SG standard. So we just wanted to sample the best sounding T-tops from the era. And we did just that. And we came up with this pickup that we called the SD71, because probably in 71, Gibson was putting out the most powerful ones in terms of measurable with DC resistance and inductance. So we're talking about DC resistance, we're talking about 8.1 up to 8.3 kiloohm DC resistance, which is just one of the many ways to measure roughly.
And this is a specifically for the neck pickup, right?
This is for the bridge pickup. It's a bridge
for
pickup.
The bridge?
Right.
For the bridge.
Because, and there's a reason to that, of course. We do provide sets as well, but I'm always focused on my hero, Angus Young. I'm still chasing after that dream. So that guy used to use and still uses to this day mainly the bridge pickup. So I was mainly interested in that bridge pickup. And so that's the first one that we replicated.
Oh, okay.
Usually net pickups are
I'm looking
are just,
at your guitar and the bridge pickup looks older and more worn than the other ones. I thought it was the other.
That's a very good thing. And thanks very much for noticing that. And the reason for that is that the original pickup that you see on the neck position, that's the original T-top. And it's still got its chrome hardware. It looks very, very pretty.
Okay, so that's a real T-top.
It is a real T-top,
okay.
Which is coupled with our replica. And because I really like old stuff, you know, and vintage stuff, and the more worn out, I like it even better. Mm-hmm. And so we made it, this one, this particular one that you see here. It's a aged nickel. So, you know, the older stuff, the older it looks, the better it is for me. I like it more. It feels warmer to me. Even just by the looks.
Okay.
So let's hear more of this particular pickup. I'll be changing volume levels on the guitar, starting from probably 3, where supposedly it's pretty clean. Raise the volume of the guitar a little bit more, and it should get edgier. Especially if I strum the strings harder, the amplifier is going to react differently, which is another thing to love about these very old amplifiers that have this old design, very simple circuit style. So they're extremely dynamic to the touch of a guitar player. So we touch gently and we get a clean sound. But we start strumming harder. Yeah, it's one of the things that I really adore about this. And then we just raise it up all the way. So this is what it sounds like, which is pretty much like a good vintage T-top kind of sound. And then, of course, with this, we can still add the Schaefer and boost it further. We're going to get... So if you wondered over the years about that vibrato and the sustain that Angus Young could actually get, and you tried to get that out of a standard amplifier, you weren't able to. Well, one of the reasons was, in fact, the Schaefer Vega diversity, and today its contemporary modern format that we call the Schaefer replica, that not only adds boost to the signal, but there's actually a bunch of components and circuitry, pretty advanced, I have to say, considering that they were designed back in the day, 1976, by Ken Schaefer, and that allow for further sustain and harmonic expansion and compression. Mm-hmm. So it's everything I ever wanted from the sound of a guitar. I really found it in this particular combination of things. So even with a Schaefer, I want you guys to hear that when and with this particular amplifier. So now we're playing this vintage, it's 1966 vintage SG with our SD71 pickup, which is a replica of a vintage T-top, running through a Schaefer replica tower, and finally into the SD50. A lot of SDs, probably too many, way too many times I'm saying this.
But so, dial it, like, even though it's through the booster, bring it down. And
it's exactly what I want to do for our friends, so that we can actually witness. Gets clean again. Very clean and pretty bright as well, like if we had a treble bleed kind of thing. And this is pretty much the work of the Schaefer replica plus this kind of amp. Extremely dynamic, too. I'm going to make our listeners fall asleep, probably. Still, I can start and strike a little harder. And I'm barely at 3, so I turn the volume up. That scorching distortion, I would call it.
It's amazing, even with it dialed down, it gets a nice crunch to it. It really does have that sound. So that's pretty interesting. Now let's try something. I want to kind of explore the tonality, both of the Schaefer and the SD50. Let's go ahead and get Steve on. While we're setting up, Steve, explain this guitar and what you brought in today. Because he's gonna this guitar. I heard about this guitar, and I know the tonal things that he's gonna pull out of it. It's gonna make this amp. It's gonna show really. The amp's more. You know. Remember too. I know that Phil is. You know. He loves that sound from AC/DC, but that amp also was a standard for a lot of other stuff, and that amp will do a lot more. It gets that classic sound of a lot of different groups. It's not just AC/DC. And I'm not,
absolutely,
it's not a slight to AC/DC at all, but it does everything. And I think this amp is a really versatile amp. So go ahead and let's get him plugged in. But I want to ask Phil a quick question too.
Of course.
Is this amp hand wired, or does it have a circuit board?
This is a completely point to point discrete components hand wired, and it's got NOS, so new old stock components for the most part.
Oh,
in
wow.
It. So we sourced.
So it's really, it's really period correct.
Period.
I mean,
we hope so as much as possible.
Well, no, I mean, there is a difference with the point to point wiring.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it in my Fender amps. I've tried a new Deluxe Reverb, mm-hmm. and they're not bad, but my old one is hand-wired, and there is a difference in the sound. It's not just it being old. I mean, I think you've seen it, too, in your...
Well, what I miss from modern amplifiers, as opposed to this great thing that you've made, Phil, this is really cool. It's so dynamic, and we're concentrating primarily here on the humbucking pickup, T-top, primarily, and I just learned a bunch. Thanks. That was awesome.
But, thank you.
You know, the dynamics of the day, it's like when guitar players, like Jeff, we were just talking about this earlier, about you find that extra hot P90 pickup. That's this elusive sound that you can buy a P90 nowadays. And they, if you get one that's a lower output, you mentioned the T-tops are on 9. Okay, those are single coil pickups, but we're all chasing Leslie West.
Yeah.
And you know, and then when you were just playing a little like the Paul Kossoff thing, it just responds to dynamics, and that's the way we all learn to play guitar.
Yeah.
And that's this dynamic element in the playing by turning the volume down, turning it up. There it was. And I think that is something that you get in this beautiful boutique amplifier like that.
Yeah, you know, it'll if you turn it, you can control it from your guitar.
Yeah.
And it gets chimey. Now, true, I'm using a Power Soak, so if you ran this through like a regular 4x12 straight through, it would be brighter. It would be a little, you know, if I had cream backs,
more
harmonics. It would be a little, you would get even more harmonics and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it, you can hear it even with, I brought this blue back for the, just to make it sound older.
Okay.
And a little bluesier. But it, it gives you that dynamic. I'm amazed, even with the Schaefer replica, when you play light, it's, you know, you can control everything from your dynamics, from your hands.
Very touch sensitive. And
yeah.
That's what really is lacking. Not to slight the new Marshalls, but it gives you that kind of, sorry, you know how like when you fall asleep and you're in Florida and you feel like you have a mosquito fly past your head? That's what these new amps sound like. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to generalize. It is modern, you know, things that we have that more of a compressed sound, but the compression,
I'm so with you,
doesn't come from the picking. It comes from the components in the amplifier. It just makes everything,
right.
You lose your dynamics, you lose your feeling.
Well, the compression you're hearing now is those power tubes compressing as I'm overdriving.
We're just pushing it. Yeah, and that's what we all look for. We try to find that, and you know, the art of the volume control.
Yeah,
it's lost. Now we found it again. We can turn it up. It's like all those beautiful old records that we loved. Everything mm-hmm. from, well, of course, AC/DC, but the Thin Lizzy records.
Yeah,
I mean, come on, those guys were varying the volume just a little bit, the way they attacked, and that's how we get these classic sounds that we seem to be chasing today. But guess what? We just found them.
Yeah.
People can't see me, but I'm nodding like crazy in silence.
It's good.
Well, real quick, before we have you play, tell us about this guitar and what's unusual about it.
Well, because today, when you invited me in, and thank you, I thought, well, I would bring a guitar that has, and this is a new offering from Godin, who a company that I love, and it's called the Summit Convertible. And what it has is these pickups designed by Seymour Duncan. And they have, essentially, it's three pickups in one. It has a setting for a P90. You switch the little switch, and next thing you know, it's a humbucker. You switch it again, it's a single coil. Okay, my first thought was, this is a Swiss Army knife type of instrument, you know, that has all these different options, but does it do anything well? Well, I'm really convinced that it does all this stuff well. It has a really... not an anemic, but a very, very good sounding P90 sound, that kind of more of an overdriven sound, which mm-hmm. hopefully we'll demonstrate. And just like there was a year of Les Pauls, remember when we would get a P90 in the neck and a humbucker in the bridge? I love that combination. So you can get that right here on the
guitar. I agree 100%.
You know? And well, let's see what we got here. If we can move.
Are you okay in that chair? Or?
I gotta just give me a little.
Phil, move the second mic over to him and pull up that other chair so you can.
Why don't
play.
I do that? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, move that over.
Yeah.
And then you can, if you want to use that gray chair, are those on?
Oh, it's okay.
You're okay.
Here we go.
Okay, let me get you.
What's we got here? So, this would be the humbucking setting
in the bridge position. A little bit more hair on it. That gives you that. You get that kind of sound, all right. Now let's go to the
the neck pickup.
Now we have a P90 setting now. So that's... Let's do the same thing. And then here's the humbucker. So a little bit more edge. And...
Now is that with the shaper, or is it just that's the amp straight
that's
right
straight.
Now?
That's straight. Okay. So let's go bridge and P90 in the front, and we'll just try playing something a little bit more vintagey. And if you want to kick the shaper out, what the heck? Oh, there it is. Oh, the applause. Oh, look at that. Oh, my goodness.
I heard the audience sound, and I liked it.
No, that just sings with that with the Schaefer. It just goes nuts.
So you can play all the kind of... Throw the tone off.
Do me a favor. Yeah. Take the bridge pickup and go to the P90 and try to give me that Steve Hunter sound.
Okay. Here's the bridge. Here we go. Close?
Is it going to sustain for a couple of days? Because it gave me the idea that it was sustained.
Well, okay, let's see. So we're P90ing right now. So
right.
Now let's go humbucker. A little more top. So it kind of sings a little.
Try the rail, the other setting with the like a Strat type of.
Here's more of a Strat. Same. Okay, there's the volume. There's, we were talking about the dynamics here a second ago. This is a single.
Single coil. That's
it wails. It just wails.
And you can hear it when he's digging in. You can hear the power tube compress that.
It's the
that compression is the tubes, which is what everybody likes. That's what everybody.
So it was, well, now we've got all these different sounds to go from. We've got the normal humbucking sound, the traditional, and well, this is a little bit souped up. You know, it gives you a little bit more output. I think they're trying. Like, so it'll.
I love that style. But you know, I love that style now. Bravo.
This is a blast because it takes me back now. It's about the touch and where you're hitting. And if it compresses too much, then it'll get almost splatty sounding. But that's where the player has to.
Now, you've used, on the Live Bullets, you used a Silver Marshall.
Right.
And on your well, when I've seen you over at the Baked Potato, mm-hmm. you used your PV Classics.
Right.
Now, give me your opinion. What are you seeing with this amp? I mean, tonally.
You know, it's the similarities are the fact that it's very touch sensitive with the guitar, and all I would use would be the Tube Screamer, but I would use it with the virtual with full volume, but the distortion at probably 9 o'clock. So I'm just trying to overdrive the front, but I didn't have the versatility that I would have had with the
this
diversity
pedal, yeah, with the replica.
The Thanks, replica, man. Exactly. So if I could have that, because back in the day with the wirelesses, the compression with more high gain amps yeah. sometimes was really not working.
Now, Phil, do you have one of the Storms here?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Why don't you pull that out while yeah. we're talking real quick? Because I want him to hear. Steve, you got to see
with
this
joy.
Pedal. It's definitely a must on your pedal board.
Oh, excellent.
He's got the pedal version of this.
It's but getting back to the comparison too, you know, a lot of things. It's like those classic 50 amps. You think, oh well, you know, but it's the EL84 sound, which to
right.
me is very EL34-esque. To me, I like that sound. 6L6s are great, but they're a little harsh to me, just for what I try to do. So
he's switching out the big guy.
Well, I'm liking this.
Oh, this little pedal. He's been telling me about this. I haven't heard this yet, so I'm dying to hear this.
You're gonna love this. And I'm speaking from afar, and that's not good. But that's the sound of the room.
Okay. Now, how do you have it set it up to where you have the replica right now?
Yes. Yes.
So it's got the same controls. It has okay. the gain for the transmitter section and the okay. circuit and the reception circuit.
Now it's off. Stand by.
Okay.
Pass through.
Now okay, so he's going to hit it.
Okay, so we're
that's just the amp.
Okay. So kick it in?
Kick it in. Not even near the amp. He's across the room. If he was there, you'd probably get more feedback.
We would probably make this. Yeah.
Now, do me a favor and play a little bit and kind of ping it a little bit. Get me some more of the harmonics because I want to show how rich the harmonic content of this amp is, and also the Schaefer replica or the Storm. But you know, give me a little more squawk out of it.
Bravo. Thank you.
So the thing that's one of the tests that to me is important for an amp is to have that kind of harmonic content so you can
Agreed.
Do anything. And then depending on the speakers you use, whether you're using a green back or the blue back or whatever, the cream back, you can go even farther. with the harmonics and stuff, but that just sings.
It'll just, yeah.
Yeah, and we want to remind, if we can, to our listeners that this is not an overdrive at all. This is it's a powerful signal that's been shot into the amplifier, and it's up to 30 decibels of signal gain.
Right, but I mean, the Schaefer circuit is distorting.
Inside, it does clip. Right. And actually, if you guys noticed, I'm sure you did, the tower actually has more headroom in the sense that actually it drives slightly less, and it's got a slightly different type of sound. This is the 9 volts pedal that we called the Storm, because we think it's going to storm your life, but it actually clips internally, and it's supposed to do that by design. So even driving further than the tower
is hand wired, right?
Yes.
So it's a hand wired circuit. That's a circuit.
It's still analog, but it's SMD, so it's miniature.
Right, and it's got, you can hear, it has a little more bite to it.
It's
a usable type of bite. It's an interesting sound because
it's by design.
So he's getting more. It screams more.
It's more, is it more, less pre, and more power amp sound, correct?
Well, you have two gain stages. You have the transmitter circuit and the receiver. So you
on
can,
the left knob, you can see.
Now, depending on what you're doing, you could be overdriving the receiver by turning the gain up.
Okay.
So why don't we demonstrate that? So why don't you turn up the gain all the way on the transmitter and lower down the receiver, and
Let's
you'll hear it overdrive itself.
Yeah. Before we do that, I wanted to speak briefly about the third knob that we haven't spoke about.
Because
I've been
here,
if you remember, I've been here before with our friends and you, Jeff, and previously. We already somewhat dissected a little bit the older tower and the TSR pedal, the Schaefer Epica pedal, the previous version, which is still in production, by the way, because it's a slightly different sound. So we thought we'd kept them both. And we added a third knob on the Storm, which is the 9 volts pedal now, and a fourth knob on the tower. What's that knob for? That's a limiter. Now, we found, we reversed engineered again the Schaefer Vega diversity system, and we found that on the transmitter side, there was this amazing little optical limiter. The optical limiter, see, I already speak about it in poetical terms, but because I was so fascinated by that 1970s technology. Today's some esoteric piece of equipment actually sport optical limiters. So it's a limiter that works with the light. It's an optical limiter. So we found that. We thought it sounded amazing. So we really wanted to replicate that again. And it wasn't in our former versions, our previous versions of the product. So we stuck one in the tower and one in the Storm. So we have actually a third knob. On the Storm, we called it the Snap, because it's actually going to make your guitar, when all turned the way to the right, so all completely active, it's actually going to limit more the signal coming from the thing. But it's going to actually make the sound.
Well, originally, if you guys have worked with FM broadcasting or whatever, they always have to limit it because they have to keep it at a certain level or it'll get all messy. So that's what originally the function was, is so that your output, no matter what your gain was going to hit the transmitter correctly so that it wouldn't, you know, again, Schaefer was looking at purity of sound, so he wanted it to be accurate going across.
Absolutely, yeah. Interesting. He was looking at
but it's nice to have the limiter. Sound. That's really cool because it can make it even punchier in some aspects and actually.
Right.
So let's go ahead and let's demonstrate that. Now, what do we have it set at? We have the gain up on...
Exactly how you requested. So we have the output. We called it, I think, the power on the Storm, but basically it's the output section of the receiver. Which is on the right side of the Storm and on the tower as well. So it's the right side
knob.
So
the transmitter is high and the
Exactly.
The receiver's low.
Precisely, yep.
Okay, so go ahead.
So here's...
And the limiter is off.
And the limiter, okay. That's the guitar on about 4.
Oh, wow.
Turn it up.
Still
a little
driving.
Bit more. That's full. Well,
that's cool. It's not as big, but it's articulate. It cuts. So when you do fast notes, you can it'll articulate. Right. Okay, now let's keep that setting and bring the limiter in.
I was going to do just that.
Simpatico. It's simpatico.
Right.
Thank you.
Done. All the way up.
Okay,
let's
go
see
ahead.
If we can hear any difference.
So here's the...
You should actually feel a difference.
It seems to respond quicker.
I like it.
Quicker. And it's punchier. You're getting a punchier sound.
I like
so, it responds quicker. So as a player, you have to kind of get used to the feel, how quick the notes are going to jump out and stuff like that. We're kind of winging
you know,
it here, folks.
You know,
it's
you're,
all very
you're
gonna
have to you're gonna eventually have to have some type of programming so you can get presets for all this stuff, because this is really cool stuff. He's gonna need at least three different settings just for the one pedal.
You're making
but
me
let
happy.
Me let me have you do now no. do the turn down the transmitter.
Yep.
Turn up
yeah.
the receiver, turn the limiter off for right now, and then we'll do the same thing. We'll bring the limiter in.
Let's do just that.
Okay.
You hear the hiss kicking in again, and there's a specific reason for that. When you bring all the way up the receiver section of that, because there's actually a component inside that was used to actually kick. It was an amplifier. It was,
right.
And it still is, that same chip that we're using, the same chip from the 70s. And I can give it away. There's no problem. It's a common chip. It's called the LM380. And it's really a pretty powerful and good, well-designed, I think it's an op-amp. And it's a little hissy, and you can hear that, but it's nothing obscene or too disturbing.
No. Heck no. So,
a difference. I can hear a difference.
The articulation
in the
just
people didn't see me. Maybe Jeff didn't see me either. Steve could see me. I went down there. I was actually taking even more of the input section. I was taking it down even more. And in fact, we for a moment we heard it clean up even further.
Yeah, no, I
wanted
hear
to
that.
Create,
but
an
it definitely is a different sound. It has a whole different feel.
I'm glad you can hear that.
Now let's put the compressor in. The limiter, I'm sorry. Let's put the limiter in now with that setting.
Let's do it.
Do it.
Okay. We'll go same kind of idea. Oh,
love your playing, Steve. So I may tell you that. I've been admiring seeing your hands move.
Now, we're already out of time. Can you believe it?
I can't. We were just having so much fun.
But I want to have, before we go out, I want to have Steve play something to take us out to really just go nuts on the amp.
Let's do that.
But first of all, solodallas.com is the website. Tell us more information. Is the Storm available now for order? Can you buy it now?
Everything in stock and ready to go. So
the pickup is available now?
It is as
pickups
well.
And then the amp.
And the amp, yes. So. Well, the amp actually, we have none in stock because it's supposed to, it goes on order. But you'll see it written on the site, on the shop section right there. So you're supposed to put a deposit, and it's going to take us up to 30 days to...
It take about 30 days to get them. Yeah. So, but it's
I think we have one in stock, and I think it's already gone. Since
how long does it take you to make one of them?
Yeah, around 20 days.
That's
20
not bad.
To 30
That's
days.
Not bad. Yeah, so you got about a month turnover time.
Yes.
That's not bad. That's not bad
of
at
Of course,
all.
As the orders, possibly some one on the other.
Right.
Probably.
Now, also, too, www.stevefister.com. Steve, you got something coming up. You got your new album debuting, right? Which we did a show on. We got a sneak peek of it.
Well, yeah, I certainly appreciate it. Thanks, you guys. And thanks for having me in. And the pedal and the amp is totally off the hook. Everybody, you got to check this out. Go to the website and check it out. But enough that... Now, here's some shameless self-promotion for myself. Sorry. You guys,
okay.
Go for it. Elva's showroom, Friday night. We're going to do a CD celebration. And it's Philip Bino and Sandra Feliciano and myself. And we're going to play stuff off the new electroacoustic record. And Jeff is, I've just twisted his arm. He's going to come down and emcee the show. So we're going to represent the LA Talk Radio. We're going to do the whole thing. Of course, Phil's going to come down. I know he's going to come down.
I am.
I'm going to send a car for you.
Oh, wow. Flattered.
I'll be driving it, but that's okay. That's all right. But anyway, yeah, so we have this new record, so if you want to check out the website and all this kind of stuff. And thank you guys for...
Awesome. Oh, awesome. Thank you so much for coming
this is
to play.
Well, both of you guys, this was a great night. I really had fun here, and it was great to just open up this amp and really see what it does. But, I mean, I've always loved the replica, but now it has the compliment. It's a set now. You got the two things, that and the amp.
I love you, Jeff. Group hug.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. But I'm going to have Steve just go nuts and take us out. Everybody have a great night.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.